Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and the Thinking LSAT podcast. Today we have an email from Lexi. Subject 140 to 160 and beyond? Question mark.
Okay.
Hi, LSAT Demon team. My name is Lexi and I'm a recent LSAT Demon subscriber. I'm quite disappointed that I only found your program and podcast towards what is hopefully the end of my LSAT admission journey. But I intend to take full advantage of all the resources you offer before that time. I started my LSAT journey over a year ago with a 140 diagnostic. Call it naivete.
She didn't do it in the French. She did the naivety with a Y.
Naivety. Yeah. Okay. Call it naivety or optimism, but I set a goal for myself of a 170 score. I bought the LSAT trainer, study book, two practice test books, supplemented my drilling with Khan Academy, and finally registered for both the June and the August LSAT tests. Hey, Alexa, you don't need to say test there. With the intention to apply this fall through early decision to start next fall. Okay, there's a couple like assumptions here that are pretty common, so it's hard to fault Lexi for having them, but setting this goal score, I don't know that you need to be so specific, fine, whatever, but also this whole early decision thing. I don't like early decision.
No. People it's a lie most that. Of the time. I mean, yeah. Well, so there's two things. One, if they're binding, it's just a terrible deal.
Yeah.
You know, you're committing that, okay, I'm only going to go to your school in exchange for what? You're going to look at my application earlier. Who cares? Just apply early to 100 schools, apply early to 20 schools. And the ones that look at you early might start making you offers and that's your early decision. So what, who even cares about it early?
I think they believe in the mysticism of it. I'm doing
that. You get an advantage.
Yeah.
But which
that advantage is not there.
You get an advantage from applying early, but that doesn't mean you get an advantage from these early decision programs.
That's right.
Just get your applications in early. The other thing is, so many schools have this bogus lie about like our early decision deadline is March 1st.
Early decision.
You know, they try to just, well, because all they're doing is they're selling the, like, it's not too late for early decision. Yeah. Our early decision is not until May 15th. And it's just laughable because it's like, wait a second. Almost every other school is doing rolling admissions. Even you guys are doing rolling admissions. You guys have already probably made a bunch of offers to a bunch of other people, but now you have this totally bullshit lie of a program that you call early decision just so that you can sell.
Yeah, if you have that late of an early decision, your chances of getting accepted may feel higher, but that's only because you've just waved a flag that said, I will go to your school for free.
You mean I will go to your school for full price?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It'll cost you guys nothing. I will pay you to go to your school.
It doesn't cost you guys anything. Which, I'm willing to give you all the money
that you asked for. In a more sensible world, that's how it would work. You would pay for school. I think, whatever. Education should be free. Okay, fine. That'd be nice. But in Canada, for example, where the tuitions are 50% lower than they are here, you don't get that. There's not that many scholarships. People actually like pay for what they're getting, and that's fine. But in the United States, that's not the system. Here, some people pay zero and some people pay double. And if you apply late, I don't care whether they call it early decision. And if it's binding, then yeah, you're basically lining up to say, oh yeah, I'm happy to pay 200% or more of what this actually should cost. I'm happy to fund other people's scholarships. And that's just not what you should be doing. So yeah, early decision. I like that Lexi wants to apply early. I like that Lexi wants to apply in the fall. But applying through early decision is a bad decision almost always.
Yeah. She continues, before I took the June LSAT, my average practice test score was mid-160s, with my highest score being a 167. Going into the June test, I was aware that I would probably not hit my 170 goal, but I felt confident in landing somewhere close and had already planned to continue studying into the August test with the hope that I'd be able to push over into the 170s by then.
Okay.
Well, that was a long sentence.
Yes.
However, I was absolutely devastated to open my June results last week and see a 155 on the page. I have not tested that low in my practice in months, and I credit that low score to a range of things, including testing anxiety, unfamiliarity with the online strategies.
What?
Okay. Did you take all your tests on paper?
She bought books that had tests. We used to use those books. I used to hand those books out in my classes, but we don't do that anymore. The test is online. You should be doing your tests online, not on paper.
That reminded me of the weird system they had. If you licensed a test and printed it yourself, you were paying through the roof to give that to your students versus buying the book, which is like a third the price, maybe?
Yeah. It was like $21 on Amazon to buy a book of 10. And if I printed those same tests under my license, it would cost me like 65 or something like that.
Plus printing, right? Like you
plus the cost of actually printing. Yeah. Instead, I'm like, well, shit, I got Amazon Prime. Okay. I'm going to buy like 30 of these books.
And then if you buy it directly from LSAC, they would come in a big box and be all destroyed. Anyways, that was my experience.
I would never buy shit from them directly. I always just bought it from Amazon.
Oh, when I first started, I bought some books from them. I bought 4 books
and they showed up all broken.
Yeah, in a huge box. It was like way too big and they were all like destroyed because they've been tossed around in the box. And I was like, what? So I never bought from them again.
That's funny.
Why I bought them from them in the first place, I don't know. Maybe Amazon didn't even have them then.
Could be.
Okay. So where do we go with that? Okay. She attributes this 155 to testing anxiety, unfamiliarity with online strategies, and some noisy roommates.
That's a lot of excuses. That's a whole pile of excuses. I mean, I think you tried to do something special on test day. I don't think it was any of those things. I think you shot for a 170 something that you weren't actually capable of. And when people do that, they crash and burn. That's my hypothesis. I mean, I'm not saying you weren't anxious. I'm not saying your roommates weren't making noise. I don't think the difference between doing it online and doing it on paper really matters that much. But I do know that people try to do something different and special on the day. And when you try to do that, it is going to be something special, but on the wrong end.
Yeah. I immediately subscribed to your Demon Premium plan and took another practice test the Saturday following my results and got a 160. I still don't feel that 160 is my full capability, though, because I had taken both. Because I had both taken some time off from studying and resumed at a much more lax pace than before I took the June test. Okay.
Shouldn't have taken any time off. Also, it could just be randomness. I mean, the difference between 155 and 160 is not that much. Like, you're a 158 plus or minus 3 or 4. Easy to score 155, easy to score 160. You're making far too much of limited of single data points.
Well, here we got a problem too. Check this out. I have since adjusted my goals, and while I still intend to work towards getting a 170, I would be satisfied with a score in the range of 167 to 169.
The test doesn't give a fuck what your goal is. Test doesn't care what you would be satisfied with. It's dumb to be satisfied with a 167 to 169 if you're capable of higher. And it's dumb to be satisfied with a 167 to 169 if that's not what you're capable of.
Yeah, I feel like these goals are
what's absolutely
giving her the test anxiety, as opposed to just going in and taking the test and doing as well as you can on each question.
Exactly.
Like, just do the question the best you can, do the next question as best you can, and then just do that 25 times, then you're done with that section.
Yeah, let go of goals, score goals. Instead, have activity goals.
Activity goals, that's what it is. Your goal is to, it's probably the same problem that people have with like weight loss, right? They're like, oh, my goal is to get to this number. It's like, okay, why don't you set a goal to eat better food? Like that's
right.
a lot easier.
Yeah, 4 months from now, I'm going to be my target weight of one whatever. And it's like, okay, how about tonight's dinner? What's your plan for that?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the goals that Lexi should be pursuing here are, where's my 1 hour of high quality study tomorrow?
Yeah.
Schedule that. I want to make sure that my roommates are going to shut the fuck up while I'm doing my practice section. How do I arrange my life so that I get a focused, high quality 1 hour of study tomorrow? Because that's where I'm going to make progress. And then, you know, within that 1 hour, your goal should be, I'm going to get this question right. I'm going to be careful, calm, accurate. I'm going to get it right. Not wrong. I'm going to get it right. I want to get paid. I want to get 1 point, not 0 points for this one. And get it right. And then when you do make mistakes, then your goal needs to be, I'm going to review the shit out of this question. I'm going to make sure that I really understand why I made those mistakes. Why did I pick the wrong answer? Why didn't I pick the right answer? And you got to fix those problems one question at a time. And none of that has anything to do with whether you're shooting for a 170 or shooting for a 167 to 169. That's just,
yeah. She continues, do you have any feedback on what is going on here and whether you've seen testing nerves drop someone's score by over 10 points? Do you think I can hit the high 160s before the August test? For full transparency, my study strategy going forward will be to use your drilling and reviewing tools every day with 1 to 2 practice tests a week while getting into the habit of daily meditation over the next month. Any tips or feedback you have would be greatly appreciated, and I sincerely appreciate all you do for your students in helping them achieve their LSAT and law school goals. Lexi is focused on goals. So 1 to 2 practice tests a week, that's too much. I almost feel like, Lexi is...
0 to 1 practice tests per week.
0 to 1. Daily meditation, okay, I'm not opposed to that, but it almost feels like Lexi is like, oh, here's all the things I'm gonna do, as opposed to just zeroing in on the thing that's gonna move the ball forward.
So obsessed with the result. Do you think I can hit the high 160s before the August test? I don't know. Let's talk about what you're doing tomorrow. Let's talk about one question today that you don't understand. I'm glad you're signed up for the demon. I mean, yeah, you need to be drilling. You should do some timed sections. But I can sense that what Lexi's doing is just hammering practice tests and hoping for higher scores. She's too happy about the good results and she's too depressed about the bad results. And she's just too much focused on this one number instead of being focused on the actual learning.
Yeah, and the subject line of this email was 140 to 160.
I wrote that. I wanted to give us an idea of what the subject was.
You know what, Lexi? Anyways, I mean, but that you wrote that because that's the focus of this entire thing. That's Lexi's mindset.
Yeah, she should be happy about the fact that she's already made it from 140 to 160. I mean, she is increasing her understanding of the test. That's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, this obsession with 170 and then this like slight downgrading of, oh, well, maybe 167 to 169, that's not helping you at all. You need to worry about how to get a 161, which means get one more question right, which means review each mistake thoroughly, stop obsessing about the results, stop worrying about August, just instead focus on the process. You know, make yourself a nice salad and really enjoy it instead of thinking about your target weight 3 months from now.
I would focus on, did you learn something new today? Did you get in, do a practice problem, review it?
And do you feel the click? Yeah. Right. It doesn't have to be like a piece of learning. That's not because it's not a test of like knowledge. Right. So it's not, but it's more like, do you feel the click where you go, oh, that question makes perfect sense to me now?
Yeah.
Or, oh, that game. Okay. I see. I I needed to make that connection right there. I see what it was. If you make that connection, or boy, if you make these worlds or whatever, you know, like if I just had learned that one little more thing, I get it now. It makes perfect sense. That means you've learned something.
Yeah. You do a question and you either own it from the beginning or you don't. But then you walk away from it as an owner of that question. Like, I get it, and I could explain it to someone else. You do that every day for one or two or three or four questions, you're moving the ball forward. And that's what your goal should be. Anyways, if you have questions for us at LSAT Demon Daily, email us at daily@lsatdemon.com. Thanks for listening.